me just say as a preliminary matter what a blessing it is to be back here and to be able to share this time with you, where I trust that rather than seeing this as the preacher's putting on a performance for you, that we will see this as it should be, which is all of us putting on a performance for God. We are here to worship Him. And while some of us will stand before you and hopefully extol His glorious name, I trust that you'll understand that you're not passive. We need your prayers. I feel a great need for your prayers this morning. And I know that these other ministers that will be standing before you after me feel the same desperate need. It is good to be back at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. I have been able to give up all of my psychotherapy because I know I'm coming here. This is my therapy in life, is to come here to this place, and I'm able to get it all out, brother, and I go back renewed and recharged. This morning I want us to go down to a wedding in John chapter 2. And this morning I want us to look at some of the people who are at this wedding. And no, not the bride and not the bridegroom of this particular wedding. I want us to see some things about this particular account that I believe, at least for me, it helps me tremendously when I think about what we see here. In verse 1 of chapter 2, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. There's several people at this wedding that we want to look at this morning. The first one being the main one, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 1 and 2, we see that the third day, and I'm assuming, and I believe this is the third day after his baptism, the third day after the events that had occurred in the previous chapter, which included his baptism and calling of some of his disciples, he went down to a wedding. Now, this account is often used, and rightly so, to demonstrate Jesus' approval of the marriage ceremony. I think there's no doubt that a wedding between two of God's sweet little children is a blessed thing. And it's true, we know this, because Jesus never went anywhere that was inappropriate, did he? He never went anywhere. Wherever he went, it was appropriate. We also know it's true because we don't see him here making a scourge of cords and driving the groom out the back door or the bride out this way. You know, he's fixing to do that. He's about to do that in the temple itself. but we see him here, I believe, approving what's going on. You know, marriage, we're told, is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. And that's something we need to remember. We're told today marriage is not marriage. We're told today that marriage is something different than what the Bible says it is. Jesus said marriage is marriage. He's approving it by being there, okay? He's not there to teach them something different about marriage. He's not there to preach a message about how a marriage needs to evolve, right? So I didn't mean to get off into that, Brother David, but I throw that in for free this morning. But there's also a good lesson here, I think, from his conduct. Notice this wasn't a bar, But neither was it the synagogue, or at least it wasn't a worship service either, right? Sometimes it's appropriate, and apparently this is what Jesus did, and it's a good lesson for us. Sometimes it's appropriate to just sit quietly and be there. You know, it's okay to just sit quietly and be. That's what Jesus was doing. He was attending this wedding. He wasn't taking over the wedding. He wasn't in there jumping up. And you notice he didn't act until asked. You notice that? He didn't. Now I say that to say that sometimes we're tempted to go break doors down in the ministry, aren't we? Sometimes we want to bust through the door and we want to take the opportunity and seize it and take over and start preaching, right? But it's appropriate. In fact, Peter says that be ready always to give an answer to every man you see. No, to every man that asketh of the hope that lieth within you. You know, don't ever sell God short. God will give you open doors for ministry if you want them, if you pray for them, and if you're ministering in the right way. He's pleased with that, okay? Now, my prayer is twofold in that regard. I pray, Lord, give me an open door, and Lord, please make me not so dumb that I don't see it, okay? I need the wisdom to know when the door is open. I've missed some open doors because I didn't see that they were open, okay? And notice that it says both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Now, what I want to say about that is this, and this is important to what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. Jesus and his disciples were that. You remember the first message Jesus preached? He says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of God, okay? Now we understand that today, I hope you understand that what we're doing today is worshiping in the kingdom of God. Now I realize the kingdom of God's too big to really preach about. I mean, in one sense, it's every elect child of God wherever they are. This morning, in the darkest, deepest parts of the subcontinent of Africa, in the back waters of Louisiana, you know, so someplace like that, way off, wherever it is, wherever there's a child of God, the kingdom of God is there. Okay, I understand that, but what I really am talking about this morning is the visible aspect of the kingdom of God, which is the church of the living God.
That's right.
In this day, wherever Jesus was, the kingdom of God was. Okay? So in a sense, what we have here, we have Jesus and his disciples all together at this wedding. In a sense, we have the roving kingdom of God, right? They moved here. Here's the kingdom. They moved there. There's the kingdom. You know, sometimes it's in Cana. Sometimes it's in Bethesda. Sometimes it's in Gethsemane. Sometimes, you know, the visible aspect of it in his day was where he was, okay? Now, certainly it expanded, and certainly there were pockets of God's people visibly worshiping him different places. But what I want you to see this morning is that at this wedding in Cana of Galilee, you had not just the bride and the groom and a whole big congregation, you had the kingdom of God, because Jesus was there. Jesus was there. Now, there's someone else there. We're told in verse 1, the mother of Jesus was there. Now, here is a woman who was in the know. If anybody was in the know, if there ever was a person who was in the know about Jesus, it was this precious young woman who is some 30 years older now, and who knew from the beginning that Jesus was special. Knew from the beginning that Jesus was not like all the other kids. You know, I get it. I mean, please don't do this. But if you ask my mama, are Chris and Tim like all the, oh no, they're so much better and special, more special than the others. My mama was always like that. Somebody said one time that they knew Chris and Tim were smart. If you didn't believe them, just ask Diane, you know. So anyway, seriously, don't we all think our kids are special? We all do. But listen, Jesus' mother, his mama knew he was special. If ever there was a woman who knew, she knew exactly who he was. Now, I don't know that she knew every detail about what he was going to do and what his life was about. She had kept all these things and pondered them in her heart for 30 years. If ever there was a woman who was in the know, it was Mary, his mother. And I want you to notice in verse 3, a need arose. It says, they wanted wine. They ran out of wine for this wedding. It was a very important part of the celebratory nature of this wedding was the wine, okay? And this need arose. And you know what happens when a need arises? Those in the know where to go, right? Those who know where to go. Isn't that our experience? How many times have you been, as a member of this church or one who understands the great blessings of the future of God's children? I mean, I don't pretend to know everything about heaven. I don't pretend to know exactly what we're going to be doing up there, but I know it's going to be great. How beautiful heaven must be. How glorious heaven must be. And I know people, though, who are children of God. I believe in my heart and soul are children of God. And when death comes to their family, when tragedy strikes, they lose their minds because they don't know. They don't understand. I had one lady say one time, heard her say, said, well, I just believe he's up there flying around somewhere. Boy, if that's all I've got waiting on me, Brother Michael, I can do that on Southwest. You know, that's nothing new. I'm not excited about that. But I'm excited about what I know that I'm going to be experiencing one day. I don't know it all. The half has not been told. But listen, the half that has been told is great. If it gets better than that, I'd rather go there than Disney World, okay? Praise God, there's something exciting waiting for us. How many times have you had the opportunity or the duty even to point someone who doesn't know to the place where the need can be filled? When a need arises, if you're in the know, then you know where to go. That's what happened in Lot's day in Abraham, isn't it? Poor old Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. He's down there. Next thing you know, he's taken captive. Okay? Nobody ever went to Lot and said, Lot, what should I do? No, they went to Abraham because Abraham was the friend of God. To be a friend, you must show yourself friendly, right? You must be friendly to God to be God's friend. I'm not talking about in an eternal sense. You know that. He's our friend whether we ever act like we're his friend or not, okay? He's the friend of sinners, but Abraham was the friend of God. Did you know that you, as a sinner, can be a friend to the friend of sinners? You can be his friend. What do? You spend time together. You talk together. You visit. You know, I have friends that I like to look them up on the internet, Brother David. I like to see what they're doing. Oh, man, that's awesome. They've done this. I like, the more I read about them, the better I like them, you see. Abraham had to go save Lot. Lot never did anything for Abraham. Those who know where to go, okay? Verses 3 and 4, I just want to say this. As sort of, not really an aside, but let me just say, the mother of Jesus went to him and told him, they don't have any wine. She knew he could fill the need, right? In verse 4, we see the clear demarcation line between Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of Mary, an obedient son, and Jesus, the Son of God. He's not being ugly to his mama here. He's just telling her the same thing he told him back when he was 12. Say, don't you understand I've got to be about my father's business? My time's not yet come, okay? And that word woman there is not like if I, you know, I promise you, if I looked to my wife and said, woman, come over here, you know, get ready. There's going to be problems here. I'll need more than therapy, Brother David, at that point. But that in that day, that term was not a term of disrespect, okay? It was saying, mama, you know, woman, my time's not yet come, okay? It's a clear demarcation line between what he has been, and he always was. Don't get me wrong, he's not changing here, but he's been an obedient son. He's fulfilled every command, okay? And now he's about his father's business. There were some other people here at this wedding. We read about this beginning in verse 5. There were some servants there. There were some servants at the wedding. And notice this, again, as we sort of already talked about this, but Mary, who was in the know, okay, she pointed the ones who didn't know to the one who could. You know that? You notice that? She said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You know, that's the best advice I could ever give anybody. If you're dealing with a young person, not even young, a new convert, someone who's interested in the truths of God's word, you know, don't start talking, we do this, we do that, he does that. Listen, point them to the one who can. When they're hurting and there's nothing you can do, you know, there's times I cannot help you. I cannot, you know, have we ever done this? I've done it. I'm sure I'll probably be guilty of doing it again. It may slip out sometime, but say, I know what you're going through. No, you don't. I don't know what you're going through. I lost my father on January 1st, okay? If you've lost your father, I understand the loss of a father, but you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through. And in a sense, even my brother and I don't know what the two of us are going through. I know better than anybody what he's experiencing. He knows better than anybody what I'm experiencing. But nobody knows what I'm experiencing like the Lord Jesus Christ knows. See, I know, I may not know what you're going through. I may not ever have experienced the tragedy of losing a child. I may not ever have experienced the tragedy and the difficulty of suffering through cancer or some other disease like Parkinson's or whatever it may be. But I know a man who knows. I know a man who can help you. I may not can get to you. I may not can be there for you. When I get there, I may just annoy you. But I'll tell you what, I know a man who can help you, okay? And the best advice I can ever give you or anybody else is whatever he says, do it. Do it. Whatever he says, do it. And these servants followed her advice. Notice here, there were 6 water pots of stone, and it says that they each contained 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Don't know exactly what that is, about 9 gallons as best I can figure, but I could be off. It doesn't really matter, but notice what they did. They went to Jesus, and Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. It doesn't say they looked at each other and said, what? These water pots? Besides, by the way, these weren't water pots for drinking water. It says they were pots after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. They were pots that you washed your hands in, okay? They were pots you washed your hands in. So the servants know there's a need. There's no wine. The wine is empty. The wine containers are empty. He didn't say go get the wine containers and bring them. He said, you take these hand-washing pots and bring them over here and fill them up. And I'm so thankful the rest of that verse doesn't say, and they rolled their eyes and looked at each other and said, what is this man talking about? Isn't that what we're tempted to do? My goodness, come down to McClinney Primitive Baptist Church. What's your choir like? Well, it's a whole congregation. Have you got your praise team ready? Well, I hope it's the whole congregation. How many pastors? How many? Do you have a head pastor and several mini pastors under there? Does Brother David have any mini me's around here? I don't know. Brother Michael, you don't look much like him, so I don't know. Is it kind of, you know, do you have a campus here and a campus there? This doesn't look like what the world has out there. It doesn't look like something that would fill my need, okay? McClinney Primitive Baptist Church, from the outside looking in, does to someone who doesn't know, who's not been in the know, if you will, doesn't look much like something that would fill my need. Surely I need a self-help program. Surely I need a 12-step program. Surely I need something else that the world has to offer out there, maybe a mega church where there's a lot of people where I can get lost in the shuffle. Surely that's what I need. You may see people roll their eyes. People may not come, but I'm so thankful these servants just did what he said.
Yeah. Amen.
And they didn't just do what he said begrudgingly. Notice it says, they filled them up to the brim.
Right.
Now, I take a lesson from that, Brother Michael. There's a lot of things I can't do in this world. There's a lot of things that I have to rely on the Lord to do, but the things that I can do, I ought to do them completely.
Amen.
I ought to do them well. You know what they would have, you know what would have happened if they'd said, well, we're going to fill them up, but we're only going to fill them halfway up. You know what that would have done? Would it have limited God? No. But they'd only had a half a pot of wine. Instead, though, they filled it up to the brim. You know, in your life, in my life, we ought to fill it up to the brim. When there's something that we know needs doing, we know that we're going to have to rely on the Lord to do it, but let's do our part. Let's do our part. Say, I know, Lord, I need help. I don't much feel like going to church. I don't much feel like fellowship. I don't much feel like participating. It really is really hurting me to do this in a sense, but I know that's what you said to do. I'm going to go every time the doors are open. I'm going to be there every time there's a special meeting. I'm going to be there all the time that we have fellowship, and maybe, Lord, you can perform a miracle and things will be better for me. You see what I mean? You see? Do what you can and do it. And listen, I know that sometimes as we live our lives after our initial conversion, if you will, and I'm talking about conversion, not new birth. New birth has to come from God. But after our conversion in a gospel way, you know, do you remember that? Do you remember when suddenly after maybe some time it didn't matter and suddenly it meant something to you? The zeal that you had, may we regain that zeal in our lives. May we think about the things, the first things, you see. Now, notice then what he said. They may not have understood it, but they did it. And he says, now draw it out and bear it unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. I don't know at what point the water turned to wine. I don't know if it turned to wine in the pots. I don't know if it turned to wine as they dipped it out of the pots. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure. But I know this, they were obedient and God blessed. And by being obedient, they were a blessing even to those who were oblivious. Yeah. Which brings me to my last person here, which is the ruler of the feast. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, notice it says, and knew not whence it was. This ruler of the feast didn't know anything except that the wine was good. Okay, he was in a great sense oblivious of the blessing that had occurred, and yet he was blessed anyway. It tells us a couple of things. One is that God is good to his children no matter where they are, no matter how oblivious they are to what it is that, and I'm assuming, I don't know this, but I'm assuming this man is a child of God. I'm going to assume that for the sake of this message, but you don't have to, you know, don't say Brother Chris was dogmatic about that, but whether he was or not, he received the blessing that those who were in the know knew about. He didn't understand where it came from. He probably thought, in fact, he apparently thought man had something to do with it. He called the bridegroom. He said, man, you've done a great thing here. You know, so many times, those who are the farthest from the kingdom of God are the ones that get it mixed up. And we shouldn't be at odds with them. We shouldn't be angry at them. Though, hey, I made some comments earlier about the churches of this world. I'm not mad at the churches of the denominational world. I love the people, and many of the people in those churches are children of God. Most of the people, I would dare say, are children of God, and they're doing the best they can with what they know. You know? But listen to me. Those of us in the know, when we have an opportunity to share what we know, ought to point them to the place where they can know where these blessings are coming from. Let's wrap this up with a few of the lessons here. I'll bring this to a close. Several things I think we can take from this. First of all, with Jesus, the need is always filled. Amen. With Jesus, when you look to him, the need is always filled. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, but my God shall supply some of your need. No. All your need. According to how faithful you are, according to how much you know, or according to whatever you may add to that. No, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Praise God. Amen. With Jesus, the need is always filled. With Jesus, as I've heard it said already, I think last night, with Jesus, the ordinary can be extraordinary. It can be extraordinary. Notice what we said. Those weren't water pots. that were used for drinking. Those were ordinary hand washing pots. That's as if we went into the bathroom and took out the sink and brought it in here and said, boy, what an amazing blessing this is. You would look at me like I was crazy. But let me tell you something. If the Lord blesses that sink, it's an extraordinary sink, okay? If the Lord takes that vessel that is ordinary and blesses it and performs His work upon it, praise God, it can become extraordinary. I don't look very extraordinary. I'm not very extraordinary. But let me tell you, in myself I may not be, but I am extraordinary in the mind of God. Not because of what I've done, but because of what's been done to me. This old ordinary water that I am, you know, I'm nothing but old dingy, dirty, muddy water in myself, but God has turned me into the most glorious wine through the work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. With Jesus, the closer you get, the better you see. The closer you get, the better you see. Remember verse 9? It says, the ruler of the feast tasted the water. It had been made wine, and he saw how amazing it was, but he didn't know where it came from, but the servants knew. Oh, man, I, as you say, well, if I'd been at the wedding, I'd love to have been the bride or the bridegroom or the ruler. No, I would love to have been the servant, because the servants left there knowing where the blessing came from. The servants left there knowing that this was a man who can. The servants left there, and I don't know what the rest of their lives were like. I don't know if they ever set foot in one of his services where he was preaching or not, but I bet you one thing, when somebody had a need in the future, that something tickled in their memory and said, you know what, I wish I could find that man, because that man can. He can feel this need, you see. And then finally this. With Jesus, the best is yet to come. Amen. You know, normally, they put out the best wine at first. And as people drank it and their senses were dulled, then they began to dribble out the lesser quality wine. But in this case, no matter how much they had drunk, the wine just kept getting better and better and better. I want to say to you, beloved, I want to say to you, you think that the wine you've been tasting over the past day or two is good? Wait till you get to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Wait until the time. You say, well, my body's, I think Brother Michael talked about how his body is not getting better and better. You know, I experienced that too, brother. I feel your pain. It's I never did run very fast, but now I don't run at all. Okay. So I'm not getting better and better. My body is getting weaker and weaker, and I'm getting older and older, and things are not going to get better. But listen, in the kingdom of God, it's always getting better. You think this last night was great. You think today I feel the Spirit of the Lord here this morning. But listen, one day we're going to be in the presence of God. The wine that we're tasting now is but a foretaste of that glorious time of feasting that we're going to have with Him, with Jesus. It gets better and better. Praise God.